if there's an expense you don't want to pay, could someone else pay for it for you instead? Welcome to Ask the Experts, where each week we talk to people in the industry. Get that inside word on what's happening right now, what that means for the tactics you should be using to make the most of your money. Now, insurance is one of those nagging worries where we often know we need to do something about it, but it can be complicated, it can definitely be expensive, and it's all too easy to just put it off. It's one of those in the future problems until it's really, really not. That's probably why New Zealand has such bad insurance rates. We're below OECD averages. So, yes, I'm bringing in one of my favorite industry insiders to talk about what you actually need, what you can maybe get by without, and also, how do we make it a little bit cheaper? Including, my favorite price of all, free.
Making Sense has partnered up with Enable Me to get you the strategies for reaching financial freedom faster. Whether you're wanting to get mortgage-free or grow your wealth through investments, they've got the team to help you. Head to their website to learn more. Visit enable.me today.
Making Sense is on a mission to make money simple, and I just couldn't do that without the support of KiwiBank. It's really important to me to only work with companies that understand that mission. And for KiwiBank, their purpose is to help Kiwi and Aotearoa be better off. So bringing you real stories of different approaches to finance is one of the ways they're making a difference to the lives of their customers. This is making Kiwi better off. This is Kiwi. Welcome back. Advice First National Insurance Lead, Willie Moala. You've done a great job for us in the past of making this all a little bit simpler. One of the first places I like to start is, can someone else pay for it? I think that's an underrated place to check, right? And I think a lot of people forget, sometimes your boss will pay for it, right? How many workplaces do cover insurance? What sorts of things might be covered?
I mean, everybody likes a freebie, and insurance is one of those expensive items where if you're fortunate that you have an employer that actually provides insurance for you as part of your overall remuneration package, then that's great. And it's certainly something that we will ask people when we're meeting with them for the first time. We're always conscious of trying to manage costs. And so one of the first things we'll say is, does your employer cover you for any insurances? And surprisingly, not, you'd think people would be across this, but not everybody is. So we say, you know, check with your HR department, find out if there's anything that you're covered for, and let's work off that for sure. Everybody likes a freebie.
Are there common areas that a lot of workplaces will cover? And are there any that very few places will cover? Let's do both ends of the scale. What are common ones that might be included and ones that are very rarely included?
It does vary widely. We could probably make an argument to say that medical insurance is probably the one where a lot of employers will have some kind of insurance for their staff. Medical insurance is probably the first cab off the ranks in that regard. And then it's probably a tie between some of the other benefits, potentially income protection, potentially life cover. Some employers have a whole raft. Others might just have one or two. We tend to see it more often with organizations sort of above 15, 20 staff, full-time staff members. Anything smaller than that, there are organizations that will have it, but there are also restrictions from the insurer side. So typically insurers won't look at a company size that's got less than 10 staff.
There are other places as well, right? Because I know I, in the past, have got good deals through my union, or you can sometimes find industry groups as well. It's worth checking all those sorts of places too, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. If you belong to an industry body, an industry body in itself won't have a group scheme necessarily, because you have to actually be a registered company. But some of those organizations will have perhaps sort of discounts that they've arranged directly with the insurer. Mm. You may be eligible to get some medical insurance at a discounted price. But just to stress for the audience, that is not what we would consider a group scheme. If you are an employer and you have an insurance plan that covers all of your staff, and that plan is fully subsidized, I mean, your staff don't pay. They may pay to upgrade their plans, but the base plan is fully subsidized. And this is a big one. and all your staff are covered for pre-existing conditions. That is what we think of as a group scheme. Now, in terms of your question around, you know, if you belong to like a union or something, and they may have some sort of direct offering with an insurer, that's not a group scheme. And often people get that confused with a group scheme. That'll just be some sort of discount that you have, but you'll still most likely need to apply and go through health checks. But one of the great things about having an employer group scheme is, irrespective of your health, you are covered for pre-existing conditions, which is like gold.
Oh, absolutely. If someone doesn't, like they go and they check in with HR and HR says, oh, actually, you know, we are a bigger company, but we don't have something like that at the moment. So if you don't have that at the moment, is it worth seeing if that could be changed and included? You know, like, do workplaces end up getting better deals for people because there is that idea of, you know, maybe a bulk discount sort of thing?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, if you're a staff member of that organization, right, you're already getting a good deal because it's ultimately free. So it's good for you. But I mean, from an employer's perspective, it is a really cost-effective way for an organization to boost their overall remuneration package.
It is like basically one of those things that would be equivalent to a pay rise, right? And yet it is probably costing the boss less money. So, you know, there's your pitch, people. You got to, what is the old thing? Whenever you're talking to someone, negotiate it from their point of view. We want it because it's free insurance and that would help us out a lot. Thank you so much. But the boss might be convinced because it's a cheaper way for them to keep you around than a pay rise. Fine, let's negotiate that from their point of view.
Not so fun fact, when you take on a 30-year mortgage, you'll probably pay more than double what you originally borrowed because of the cost of interest. That's probably not the Kiwi dream you bought into. The team at EnableMe specialize in taking charge of your money and growing your wealth, including how to get rid of your mortgage faster. Book a consultation with an EnableMe financial advisor today by visiting enable.me.
Life looks different for everyone. Maybe you're buying your first home, growing your whānau, dreaming of travel, or simply trying to stay on top of things. KiwiBank has the tools to help you manage your money your way. Find out more at kiwibank.co.nz. This is making Kiwi better off. This is Kiwi. On the other side, I mean, sometimes people get made redundant, or the boss says no, or they are just looking to cut every cost they can. And when we started this conversation, we were talking about, you know, of course people don't want to spend more money on things that aren't adding value. But then again, the point of having insurance is that hopefully you will save money by having it, that if something goes wrong, it can be something you are very, very grateful for. So, what sorts of policies do you see people needing to keep more often, bearing in mind that everyone's situation is different, but what sorts of policies are often not a good idea to have on the chopping block?
So if you think about most people, their financial risk or their biggest financial risk is if they stop earning an income. You know, if you're already watching the pennies now and you're working, you're out there earning living, and all of a sudden you add another layer of stress, which is right now I'm unwell, all of a sudden that becomes quite a catastrophe. So the income part of it is the part that we, you know, would encourage people to consider carefully before either getting rid of it completely or culling it back. Because ultimately, like that's your lifeline. And like you said, you know, all cases are different, but certainly the income is probably the area where we move cautiously when we're looking at making any changes whatsoever.
And certainly one I've seen a lot of people talking about recently, I'm an absolute shocking lurker in some online money groups of people talking about all the amazing ways they save money, make money. I just love that people put all this stuff out there. So one of the things that I've seen a lot of people talking about recently is they've been putting up their excess instead. The amount that you would pay yourself before, you know, insurance chips in, they've been putting up that excess as a way to save money. Is that one way you can sort of keep the insurance on board while maybe saving a bit? Is that one of the good compromise options?
Yeah, I think so, for sure. So when we talk about having an excess as it relates to personal insurances, we're talking about medical insurance. So medical insurance, one of the great levers that you've got in terms of managing the cost is looking at some form of excess. So if you don't have an excess, then your policy is going to be more expensive than if you do have an excess, which is sounds like that's what your friends have been talking about. So sticking on the medical insurance theme, yeah, I think we are seeing more and more people who don't have an excess explore that a little bit more. Again, yeah. It really comes down to what are you trying to achieve out of your insurances. So if we think about medical insurances, one school of thought might be, I want medical insurances to cover the big costs, you know, a surgery, some form of treatment that's potentially tens of thousands of dollars, even more. So I take out medical insurance in this example because that's what I don't want to have to pay. So given that, I'm happy to part with, say, a $1,000 excess or a $2,000 excess because I'm willing to wear that risk. But what I don't want to pay is, you know, the tens of thousands. So it comes back to what is it that you want to achieve out of the insurances? Does having an excess make sense to me? But you just got to be really mindful around what you're doing. And also having access to those funds if you need to pay an excess is equally important. So make sure that you have that set aside somewhere. Otherwise, you know, it could be a struggle to pay your excesses.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And it's not something where we want to scare people, but it is, you know, you were saying to me before off camera that you have had a lot of claims this year, the most you've ever had. Was that right?
Yeah. I mean, I was an advisor back in 2012. And in all that time this year, I mean, we're only at the midway point of the year. This is the most claims that I've had. And, you know, we're only 6 months into the year. There are a couple of recurring themes in that. And so one is, and across almost all of those cases where we've had claims this year, cancer is the recurring theme. Don't know why, but it is. The other thing that was a little bit of a surprise was the age bracket of, you know, some of those claims that are coming through. And for me, it was a bit of a surprise, but a lot of them are sort of under the age of 50. Diseases like this, just they don't discriminate. It's not just who you think, you know, you might have a picture of where you think, you know, people having cancer. It doesn't discriminate. It chooses whoever it chooses. So, yeah, that's quite sad. And but fortunately, insurance is playing its role in each of those cases, which is what we want it to do.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know it's really hard to talk about insurance and not get into that like slightly grim territory. It's the reality of it, right? That this is literally that you are hoping to give yourself options should the worst happen. And it's the reality of the conversation, unfortunately.
Yeah, we call it a plan B. And often I'll say to people, you know, once we've got the insurance in place, hopefully we don't ever have to use this plan B. But if we do, then it's going to do its job. And yeah, you know, for all these people that have had claims this year, they're certainly grateful that they've got a plan B.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't have a plan B and they're doing it really, really tough. I really feel for people that are, you know, not just having to find the funds, but going through anything like that is difficult, let alone you add the financial stress to it.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Have that mental reassurance of the plan B, but also even better, if you go back to the beginning of this episode and get someone else to pay for your plan B, which we love that all around and it makes it slightly less grim. Hey, thank you so much for dropping that concentrated knowledge on us. Willie Mawala from Advice First, giving us brilliant insights as always. Now, we put together some of this episode based on your questions from last time Willie came on. If you have more, send them through to us once again. But most importantly, if this episode was helpful to you, first of all, make sure you hit subscribe wherever you're listening, Spotify, YouTube, wherever it is, and then send it on to a friend so we can all get smarter with money together. Until next time, have a great day.
Just a note before you go, this podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.